Do you know anything about hosting a chat show? People tell me I have a face for podcasting.
Well, honey, you certainly do. And we've been doing it for years.
Ooh, you know that's right.
Was you even born? Was you even born when we started this podcast?
We didn't even have electric. We had to record it into jars and then mail it to the producers to get up on the apples and in the link trees. But we're going to celebrate this anniversary the only way we know how. By podcasting.
That's right. We started this back when the link tree was an actual tree. Okay, on All Stars, these queens have very specific topics to talk about while sitting at their big pink smooth tables. Hardwood.
Hardwood. Teak. Was there sparks? Was there chemistry? Were you entertained or entertained?
Feeling entertained. And the runway was a clash of the patterns this week.
Don't strobe. Don't strobe on camera with all that pattern. plus, maybe the biggest tip in Drag Race history.
Girl, we love to see it. It's all happening right here, right now on
Race Chaser.
Forever Dog.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser. A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning!
Oh, okay. My name's Alaska, what's yours?
Save a horse ride my throat. It's Willem.
Girl, nodes. We have a few nodes on the performance.
She's raspy.
Last time I Bob was so nice enough to fill in for you, and we had
a great
time.
For my special assignment duties?
Yes, I know you are on special assignment. I won't tell anyone.
Special assignment.
But I went to do the intro with Bob, and I was like, "Hello," and he was like, "Hey, girl, how are you doing?" And I just
didn't get it. Not everything is for everyone.
I just kept going. I was like, the discussion, dissection. And he was like, I don't know, diaspora?
Deandra? Princess Deandra? Bitch, well, it is good to be back in the hot seat with you. And you look beautiful. The Dragoonzled. The Dragoonzled is...
Touch.
Beautiful.
Just a kiss of cosmetics. One doesn't want to overdo it.
One doesn't want a hint of color.
I'm like one of those modern drag girls. I barely wear makeup. My whole makeup process is just doing eye masks and facial masks. And then, like, right before I leave the door, I dust on highlighter. And then I'm, like, ready for the show. You know?
I've been doing vampire facials, but with cum. And then a little bit of wet and wild lip gloss and some glitter. And then I'm out the door in less than five. It's so great. By the way, congratulations. We need to celebrate.
We do.
We're 3 years old.
Honey, pop a bottle because... We are proud to celebrate 3 years since we launched the Race Chaser podcast.
Yes.
My baby's three.
She's a three-year-old. She's not house trained or potty trained yet, but she's trying. She's doing her best. We've covered current seasons of Drag Race, All-Star seasons, Foreign Land seasons, and of course, Classique seasons.
Doom, 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 doom. We want to thank you all so much, all of our amazing listeners, for joining us on this wild ride. And if you're new to the show, we love having you here with us. And if you've been here from the beginning, then you are a gold star Race Chaser.
Thank you.
In the club. That's only if you've listened to every single episode without exception. Even the chewing, even the bad audio in season one. Every single time, if you've listened to every episode through thick and thin, you're a gold star Race Chaser, and we love to see it. And we're happy to continue to pod with you twice a week, and here's to 3 more years.
Oh, can you believe it's been 3 years?
Why does it feel like that isn't long enough? I feel like we've been doing it.
Me too.
Since the dawn of creation.
Well, by my math, we came up with it in 2016. How did it take us 2 more years to get us doing it? Because we came up with it out of Burning Man.
Because we're busy.
Busy.
We're busy dolls.
Busy dolls.
Busy drag queen.
Well, last week y'all got busy with Bob.
I'm busy.
Bob was busy filling in on the pod to discuss
busy
the episode.
Busy Phillips.
The queens got to...
Tell us what happened last week. Tell us what happened.
The queens got to create their own celebrity impersonation all-star halftime shows. I have some notes. After dance rehearsals with the always fuckable Jamal Sims, the divas turned out some great performances and delivered a very thrilling runway. Jan won the challenge, Bob thought Trinity should have won the challenge, and Akiria and Yara landed in the bottom. Jessica Wilde appeared as the lip-sync assassin, and after giving her wig glue a run for its money, she won that lip-sync and reeled the queens. All voted for Yara to go home. Escandalo.
Yes. So we join the dolls after Yara's elimination. Everyone's talking about how, yes, it was Yara's moment to go home. Somebody said, is it going to be anonymous? Or is it going to be anonymous?
Was that Sonique?
I think it was Kylie.
Bless.
Is it going to be anonymous?
It's going to be anonymous. We just write our name on the tube. And
you
someone...
cut a hole through that vinyl wall printed with brick pattern, and it's very anonymous.
It's just like you're at the Knob Hill Theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Memories.
Slobbing at the knob.
Jan is convincing herself that she made the right decision to vote for Akiria, and she said she was going on track record. So now this is more the thing, like, where the girls are talking, like, is it track record? Is it this? And then somebody says, well, you'll know. It's like, well, how? How do we know if it's not track record then? And if it's, you know, because girls don't want to vote for their teammates sometimes. If you let a girl borrow, like, a fancy shirt, maybe, or even a plain shirt.
Okay. So how is, like, the teammate thing now, like, a completely acceptable? I love how each season, it's very like Lord of the Flies. You make up your own laws that you abide by. And everyone is like, yeah, I didn't want to vote for her because she was on my team. How is that any better or different than saying that's my friend and I didn't want to vote for my friend?
Well, I mean, Scarlett does say you don't need the group's permission on how to vote, but we'll see how that goes for her tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
bless her heart.
Spoiler alert. But Jan is sort of dancing about, and she's like, well, I thought that the whole group was going to vote for Akira. Who cares? Just say, if she would have said, you know, it was down to track record, I'm sorry, that's the game, deal with it.
It is, Jade. Thanks. Mommy's talking, though, so shh. Okay, so, Shanita, quiet. The part about the whole using the word integrity when you're voting, it's like, some of these, it's not about integrity. It's a game show. So
it's a game show designed to strip you of integrity. It is designed to make you look crazy, unhinged, off balance, and to make the audience hate you. That's what this show is designed to do.
Yeah, and they don't care who wins, and they don't care about how many corpses get thrown to the side of the road as they pile drive on. But some of these girls are taking it harder than others with these votes, and you see them worry, like, are people going to like me in the outside world? I need to get you gigs after this. I don't want them to think I'm a bitch. I see why Jan's spiraling, you know? Like, I see all that in her head.
Well, the show, and this is, we can talk about it later. Let's talk about it later, because the fan base, you can't please the fan base.
Fan base as a collective. You cannot do it.
Everyone will be
100% ever.
Yes. I wish I could go back in time and go into the studio and tell these girls as they're filming this, like, you can't come out of this unscathed. The only thing you can do is say, fuck off. I made my decisions, and if you want to send me death threats and, like, tell my husband to kill himself, then so be it, but I did what I had to do, and I stand behind it. That's the only thing you could do.
And bitch, Yara agrees with you, because her lipstick message says, fuck you all, I'm kidding, ha ha ha. She's not kidding. You guys are hilarious, Yara. Like... I think there's a seed of truth in every joke, for sure. And Yara's
there's a full-grown sapling.
Yeah. There's a sap trail. And it leads straight to Las Vegas. The girls are discussing workroom fashions, and they all are agreeing that they're a fashion-forward bunch. And they particularly say that Kylie is always memorable and cunty with her looks.
Is. Definitely.
Very much so.
Akira is still refusing to see Trinity as trade, but Trinity swears.
Trinity swears. She sent a registered letter to the trademark division. She said, I'm trade. Give me the mark, bitch. They're just going back and forth. And in the middle of that discussion, RuPaul comes into the workroom. Just sashays right in.
So for the maxi challenge this week, the queens need to produce and host an intimate, provocative, and entertaining talk show, Pink Table Talk. And of course, they are free to use materials from the fabric.com wall.
Like somebody's going to just whip up a fucking outfit to sit down in.
Girl, No one did.
Fifi would do that. She'd be like, I'm going to make my outfit too. And we'd be like, you're an overachiever.
Roxy would do it too. Yeah, definitely. Bianca would too, probably. Rue tells the girls split into teams, ladies, and everyone just sort of separates into their groups. And then they decide on the topics. Okay.
Now I love this that they decided through an actual game of chance instead of just going, well, I really feel I need it. Because then there's a confessional with like someone going, well, blah, 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 blah. This is the fairest way to do things.
They should have auditioned for it. I still like that tradition of auditioning
for that bar. One was good. Eureka, Akira, and Trinity choose the sex. The seats. Ginger and Scarlett's team both want to do motherhood. Scarlett because she has two moms, and Ginger because she's pregnant. We're trying to get pregnant with the surrogate.
She's trying. She's trying. I know that you've been trying to get pregnant for years and hasn't stuck yet.
Honey, I have donations all over this floor. I just need the egg. God.
The Borrowed Blessings Bureau.
Now coded. Ginger, Jan, and Pandora get body after a game of rock, paper, scissors yields Ginger holding a rock and Scarlet with paper.
Yes. And I love these topics. There's a lot of ways that they could go. And I love that the topics were kind of like vague. They're just like, here's a word, make of it what you will.
I was hoping that motherhood, they would do drag motherhood.
Right. But, which you could talk about.
Yeah. We'll see how that works out. Pandora is, apprehensive about her topic, which is body, because she's like, who has body issues? Me, the old twink, shock. Right. And Jan is trying to be more down to earth and honest, and Ginger wants to lead her group as the moderator, which makes sense. Ginger's a great talker. She's good on a mic.
Definitely. Great for the moderator.
Yeah.
Raja is talking about motherhood, and she's really feeling vulnerable because she doesn't have a really great relationship with her mother. And Scarlett, who's very close to her mom's, and she wants to celebrate that fact. And Kylie is taking on the role of the moderator.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I'm low energy? I think that there are others who have a higher edit. So you think I'm low energy?
Are you insecure about what I'm gonna do out there? I honestly, Sonique's hair did half the work. It was perfect talk show hair. She looked so good. And then she said
Patsy
the thing about
Stone, but
it was
like
perfect.
Elegant. Yeah,
it was perfect talk show hair. Yeah. Ivana Trump, like just
oh, is Ivana Trump
very that just gorgeous? And she threw in she took motherhood in her own direction. How she's experiencing it with her dog Gizmo. Who's the cutest little thing. And then also giving that great one line of advice to Raja was beautiful and just like wonderful, I thought. Like the thing about like, don't let that damaged little kid make your adult decisions for you.
Exactly.
Like that was like, that was gospel, bitch. And she did it looking so beautiful in that hair too, which made it even righter and truer.
Yeah, and we should talk about each group. So, as far as motherhood goes, yes, I thought they did an all-around good job. I liked that Kylie threw in the dog thing, because if you think about a show like this, I always think about The View. That's like my touchstone for this. And I'm like, there's always like, you have a couple serious topics and then you have one that's just fluff. And then it was like, here's some pictures of my really cute fucking dog. You need that, you know?
Yeah, I loved it.
I liked the mixture.
I thought it was only lacking when Scarlett would dip into her like anchor lady voice. Like, it's like her infomercial, sell you something. Like, she was trying to sell her story a little bit too hard when she could have just been selling it as herself, you know?
And then, of course, they pull out a pink furry box item, which looks like a butt plug, but is a citrus reamer.
Honey, I've been in the orange groves at night, and they called me the citrus reamer. That's where you go. That's where you go.
Nickname, no. Why don't we take a break and then we'll talk about
about body and the sex girls.
Sex girls.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. We are back again. We went a little out of order, but we talked about the motherhood group. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think they're a clean first runner-up.
Clean chat, clean talk, clean button.
Yeah, they're a clean first runner-up, but
you
want to
go for
about...
sex or body, baby? Sex or body, which is it?
Well, should we
rock,
talk
paper,
about
rock paper body?
Should we talk about the good or the the not so good?
Who was not so out of the two? Who do I think was not so good? I'd say.
Well, the sex group I think was the greatest.
Oh, I thought the sex group was my favorite too. Yeah.
Yeah, and they opened up the show, they started the show, and it's Eureka, Akiria, and Trinity. And this was really well done. First of all, I love this challenge because it's not just about who can be the wackiest and the funniest and the grossest and get the most, stick the most shit in their mouth and get a big laugh. You know what I mean? This was, you had to actually put something on the line, something personal, something real from your life. And it has the possibility of really helping people. And I thought the conversation topics that these ladies brought up, give them an Emmy Award for this pink table talk.
Yeah.
Give it to them.
I'm not mad at all. The vulnerability, like, just, like, gushed out of this episode from Eureka, Akira, and Trinity. Akira shared that she used to live her life as a trans woman named Kiki, and then they show her picture on the screen, and she says some of the guys can't handle that she has her body done, and then some of the guys think they can handle it, but they can't, and then they get into the ass almighty chat. I love that it was both, like, I learned more about Akira while only, like, endearing her more to me.
Exactly.
Like, even though she was talking about one of her problems, just, like, let me know, like, what's going on in her life. Even though I feel like she's my best friend and we don't talk that much. But, like, because, like, when you hang out with someone, you're like, oh, we would be such good friends if we lived in the same city. Like, she's like that. She's so fun.
She really is. And Eureka is perfect as the moderator because she can take a response to something that can be, like, kind of heavy or kind of serious. And she can, and you have this ability, too. You can hear it, absorb it, not discount it, but then say something that, like, is a joke and a button and ties it up, and, like, ties it up in a nice, succinct, and humorous, entertaining way.
Nobody's called me succinct since my early 20s.
Honey, it's succinct.
Get on the sink. Trinity also shares about the undetectable equals untransmittable thing, which is something that so many people don't know about. And she's talking about her HIV status. And anytime we can get that out there more and more, because people need to be informed, is a plus.
Yeah. And this is stuff that, like, is not, this goes beyond just the scope of a challenge on Drag Race. Like, these are actual topics that people need to learn about, the viewership needs to know about, and it's actually helping people. So, like, I thought they did such a great job. And then they pulled out a facial exercise.
Yeah, did you know about that? Did you know what that was?
No, I thought it was one of those strokers.
I thought it was going to be RuPaul's new All-Stars lips selling at DragCon 2022.
Oh, because some of the girls
get it
before All Stars.
Some of the girls, I think, it's a mandatory girl.
Right.
I think Raja's the only one who left with her original face, and her face was fine to begin with. Right. Raja with an H, current Raja, not reigning Raja
included. Right, yeah. Right.
She's beautiful. She's got a tiny little face.
So let's get to the
body,
third group.
The body girls body, are here.
The body girls are here.
The body girls are here.
What were the girls wearing?
I loved Akira's look. She was wearing this great blazer with a frill all along the sleeve. It was very, like, seated, like, perfect, like, fashion day. Eureka looked great. Trinity looked great. They were a standout group for me, for sure. But the body girls, Pandora looked very nice.
Pandora looked great. This is the category. The category is you're sitting down at a table. And I don't know why it bothered me. Listen, Jan is my friend. Jan, I love you. Jan is my friend and I love her so much.
Jan, you seem nice.
I have such a pet peeve about when it's, like, daytime sit-down interview and someone wears a dance costume. It was the same thing with Derek Barry when you told her that no one died at Stonewall.
She was in a beaded number. I know. It's like, daytime girl, you need to know your looks.
It's a category.
Well, in Miss Black Universe, there's four. They do sportswear.
Or activewear, right.
Yeah, so, which this daytime could be.
Right.
Yeah, this was not the right look. And I don't know if Jan just is like, well, and the designer said he'd give it to me for free if I wore it on TV. So that's why she wore it.
Maybe,
who knows?
That's very possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not feeling her look on this either.
If she put a skirt on over it, just like a little, you know, do.
Mm-hmm. Little bus out to the on my way to the gig skirt, just so I have somewhere to put my keys.
Like her chats and her talk didn't bother me because I know Jan and I know that, like, she is very high energy and you want to be high energy on a talk show like this. You have to volley back and forth. You don't want to be, like, a dud and not have energy, so...
No.
I was more bothered by the fact that she was wearing a unitard in a sit-down interview. That bothers me so much.
Well, Ginger was talking about her intestines were bothered with a bowel obstruction.
Yes.
And that was enlightening.
And she discusses the fat phobia and hatred that she receives on social media, which she continues to receive because she's on All Stars and that's what the fans do.
Come on, All Stars. Nobody's watching there. YouTube just unsubscribes you. Bitch.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I don't know, girl. But anyway, in the mirror the next day, YouTube's watching through the mirror. Ginger feels that her group did really well in the challenge.
Yes.
But in reality, it feels like Ginger just slam dunked that challenge. So maybe that's why she thinks her group did as well as they did.
Well, there were no clunkers, and there were a lot of laughs. The issue, I
thought Pandora had some good comments.
Yeah. I think the issue was that, and we'll talk about it, but the issue was they didn't really go deep enough. Like Pandora and Jan, especially, they didn't really get to that sort of like raw nerve. It was just sort of like, yeah, this happened and ki, ha ha, you know?
Yeah.
So Raja is nervous and she's like, I don't know if maybe I went too far. Maybe I talked too much about my relationship with my mom. And her girls. I love seeing the friendship happening between Raja and Trinity and Akiria. Raj Trinkiria.
Me too. They're not the unfriendly black hotties. They're very friendly. They're supporting each other. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's no such thing as too vulnerable on a reality show, Raja. You're doing perfect. It's exactly what the producers want.
Yeah.
And she's crying pretty. She's seated. She's at a good angle. I'm not mad at all at anything Raja did this episode. Like, she lived for me.
Yeah.
You know who else I lived for?
Yeah.
Jan, talking about the voting again. She said, so, are we not doing track record anymore? So, I remember I might have referenced this earlier about the integrity levels.
So, how's everybody else gonna vote?
So, are you guys wearing lashes today? Oh, and how are you voting?
No, you gotta just, it sucks. It sucks, and I feel so hard for every single girl who's in there right now.
I have
it
a question. Why, when they pull out the lipsticks, doesn't a girl just fucking lie and say, no, I didn't vote for her? And then that way, people don't know what's up. That's what I would do if, like, everyone in the room except one person voted for everyone. I'd be like, that wasn't me. No, girl, I'm with you, bitch. No, uh-uh. You're my girl. You can borrow my things. I didn't vote for you. Really? I agree 100%. And I also need to throw in from last week, if Ginger Minj either pissed herself or said, let's play some Super Bowl, she would have won the challenge. Because that is what Fergie does. Fergie pisses herself and is known for that terrible NBA national anthem. That is what is Fergie to me. That is distinctive Fergie.
Yeah, it is.
Well, distinctive.
Maybe she peed herself and they just didn't show it. Maybe they cut around it.
I don't know. On this main stage, RuPaul looks like a neon garden nymph. So
does this look familiar to you?
She's wearing her promo look on the runway.
Honey, she works smarter, not harder. She's the... Baby, get over here and take a picture of me in this.
Yeah, Albert, like Mr. Sanchez,
let's call Albert. Let's use this for promo. Do you think? Yeah. I like it. Just take a picture of it. We'll
try. Can you crop
it.
Out that ladder? Okay, yeah, use it. Now, can you make my mouth move so I don't have to do the video? Oh, no? Okay, we'll do them after. Can you put wigs on top of it and sell them at Spencer's Gifts?
I love this look. I copied this look. It in no way holds a candle to this look, which you wouldn't want to hold a candle to this look because it would go up in flames. Because... there's
Bush.
A lot of hairspray. There's a lot of hairspray in that. I love the sculpted quality of the pink hair.
It's
very sculpted.
I
love it.
My favorite thing is that pop of earring color, the ball, where if you swing your face, balls hit your face, and then you have a built-in joke, too.
Exactly.
It's wonderful. And speaking of built-in jokes, one of our guest judges, Aisha Tyler, has a little bit with the mask and some purple petals. She said, I get so emotional every time I come to Drag Race. And it was funny. I chuckled. It was a genuine chuckle.
It was a chuckle. She's funny. And she's great. She knows her Drag Race. And I thought it was really funny. As someone who has traveled the world putting rose petals in various things and taking them off and revealing them myself.
I remember your good cowboy hat rose petal.
Cowboy hats, wig topper, penny toppers. I did, girl,
you
everything.
You guys had a pickle jar up there, didn't you?
Girl, yes, jar sweet, sweet and sour dill.
Mm-hmm. Not a classic gherkin. This runway, can we talk about the runway?
Let's talk about the runway. Bring it to the bring, run.
Runway.
Runway, wait, bring.
This is Clash of the Patterns.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my favorite challenges ever. Patterns are wonderful. Trinity comes out first, busting down the runway in an African-inspired look. No wig, face paint. Giving like Maasai warrior. Very beautiful.
I loved it. She looks awesome. I don't know if it's a clashing of patterns, but I like it.
Yeah, it's just one pattern, isn't it?
It's one very exquisite pattern. There's no clashing going on at all. And so she looks amazing. Next we have Eureka. Now this is what I think of when I think of Clash of the Patterns.
Me too. Pattern on pattern.
Yes. And it's sort of, you know what I probably would have dipped into, which this kind of does, is
Leopard.
Harvey Dent Two-Face in the movie.
Very that. Uh-huh.
His half that's crazy has the, like, it's tiger, very bright,
like tiger, magenta,
zebra, tiger, leopard, yeah, but different bright colors. I would have gone that. And she kind of goes with this, Eureka does. You like this?
And I do love the hair and the makeup, too. She has no brow and, like, a soft blue contour and, like, a purple lip. She looks really beautiful. Akiria went with a straight-up pattern of a dressmaker, which no one else did. I thought it was ingenious when she walked out. I was like, what is... Oh, a pattern!
Yeah, it took me a second to get it. And then I was like, oh, bitch.
Honey, she's a Girl Scout selling the cookies. She's the smartest cookie. She just, like, worked it, and it's perfect, and the tape measure ponytail, honey, you had me a tail.
She looks really awesome. This is drag. And it's topped off by, first of all, the measuring tape hair ponytail was, I don't even know how it's possible. Also, the tomato pin cushion as that, her, like, purse.
Little handbag. Lady can never be too sure.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Next, we have Raja O'Hara. She's giving, like, a lot of African patterns, and she's doing her classic silhouette of, like, the pants. I always think of Raja O'Hara in pants.
Pants on the runway. She's worn them a couple times, and her body is great for it.
Yes. She looks cool, and I think if I look closely, this is a bunch of different patterns all butting up against each other.
Yeah, they play really nicely because they're all in the same, like, sort of color family.
Yes.
I'm not mad at this outfit at all.
Not mad. She looks stunning.
Speaking of outfits, we got Miss Kylie Sonique Love on the runway in this leopard print with, like, colored accent, like, kind of like fins coming off of it dress. I couldn't figure out what was where, but I loved it. And it was short, and she had legs out and a hat, a good statement hat.
Yes, she looks beautiful. Also, by the way, tickets for Joanne happening at $3 Bill in Brooklyn on August 11th. She's wearing a pink hat in her look. Joanne, tickets are available using the link in my link tree on Instagram. That's right, $3 Bill, Brooklyn, August 11th, outdoors. Joanne.
I love that you pulled your strap down while you said that, like you were advertising to the boys, like, I'm going to give you this.
Come and get a look at this shoulder. Is this Clash of the Patterns?
I mean, it's many patterns, and she did have good statement jewelry on.
Are you suggesting that she may have borrowed things from the Borrowed Blessings Bureau?
There may be Borrowed Blessings on the runway twice this week, actually.
She looks stunning. Oh, wait, the shoe.
And Rue said it.
I was like, the shoe is just fabulous. And that's your shoe. I knew it was, bitch. I knew it was.
The shoe was good, yeah.
Let's take a break before we go on to the other ones.
We're gonna take a break, and
they're making
we'll
us clock out for
runway.
Our state mandated 15.
We'll for a state will mandated. We'll be right back.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
We're back. We've spent the whole break just getting into Kylie's shoes.
Mm-hmm. This is an OD. They're a 41. And
hell yes.
I'm not mad. And she returned them. Nice girl.
Love to see that.
Yeah. Scarlett is in a dress on the runway for Clash of the Patterns with patterned love letters from her grandma to her grandpa, who was in the Navy in the 40s.
She looks beautiful.
Just, I don't know why she makes her hair look like she's this glamour hair on her. I don't associate Raja with a young, trendy hairstyle ever. Her and Jan have gone very matronly and classic with the hair shapes this season.
Who's Scarlett?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Her, you called her Raja?
Oh, sorry. So many girls. Scarlett.
So
and
many
Jan-
girls.
Scarlett and Jan have gone really like, it feels like helmet hair almost.
Well. You know, some of the girls like that. Like, that's very...
I love a shapely hair moment, too. But, like, switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
This
glamour
girl. It's gorgeous, but, like, let's see what else you can do.
Yes. And I'm gonna defend her on this, because it is from her grandparents' generation. So probably... I think she's supposed to look like a dame who's waiting for her guy to come back from the war, and then gonna like kiss him when he lands.
Well, then tens. She did it perfect.
Yeah, and it has a great story. And
that's
not enough,
Will. How dare you? You're a straight man. You don't have updo button privileges, Will. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, now she's talking to us using her own language. Oh, I see.
What I say it. Will.
Ooh, get me a Will, Dr. Tonic. I want to throw it on her.
I said what I said.
Damn, she... We're going to take a break on that one.
Just take a break. Welcome back to Hot Ads.
So who's next? We got Jan
on
the
runway. She
looks
beautiful. Yes, Jan. Okay.
Jan, what? I have a problem with this week, and I'm her friend, but I'm going to tell her. Jan wore this exact look in turquoise and pink on her season already. It's gorgeous. I'm sure it's by Casey. I wore the same turquoise and pink look. I know, because it smelled like the other girls. It was a pull piece, and I barely squeezed into it. But, like, this is the same thing she already wore in season 12. I already saw it on you, honey. Show me something different. I saw this exact silhouette. It had, like, a little holographic bag attached to it. And, like, the stocking, it's not doing her any favors. And we've seen it. Like.
Right. And the bags successfully take us to Clash of the Patterns town.
Yeah, like, if she would have done a purple look like this with, like, Bette Midler big business type of, like, polka dots and stripes. And, like, I'd love to see something different. She looks perfect, but, like, we've seen it.
Yeah. And there is a lot of artistry that went into this dress. Like, it's a custom pattern, like, made. It's a custom...
It's beautiful.
...fabric.
Yeah.
It's a beautifully made, stunning garment. Is it Clash of the Patterns to me?
The garment itself? Or the...
The garment itself, no, the bags take it there, but it should be about the whole, you know, the whole moment.
I agree.
But she looks pretty. Ginger Minge. This is...
Camp.
It's high camp. I mean, you were just talking about Big Business.
Very that. The sideswept hair. Like, this is camp. And it's done clean. It's done well. Ginger knows her silhouette 90% of the time. And this is in that 90%.
And I like that she takes it to, you know, butterfly catcher, which takes us to a time, place, and a scene. The boot is very specific. The hat is very specific.
All her boots need the boot.
I like this boot. This boot is for a woman who's out catching insects in a net. Would you pull that crap with a net? the glove, I love this. She looks awesome, and it's very successful clashing of the patterns.
The hat is very mom in True Beverly Hills.
That's probably
it's
what
giving
she's
me
going
Phyllis
for.
Neffler vibes with the silhouette and the overdone shoulder. It's wonderfully done, Ginger. If you're listening,
beautiful, beautiful.
Pandora,
beautiful, 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 beautiful.
Why in World War II is she? I know them all. Pandora's look is inspired by Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas. And it's all like giant stitches and stuff.
Yes. Which I didn't get that reference at first, but it doesn't matter because this is successfully achieving clash of the patterns. These are patterns that are not the same. They do not go together. There is no world where they should be next to each other. And that's what the point of this theme was. What did you do for Clash of the Patterns?
For Clash of the Patterns, I did a diesel lime green and gray flannel plaid with extra arms that tied around the waist, and I ripped them down from my bosom, and then I did some runway, and then underneath that dress was also that polka dotted skirt that I wore as Allie in my Stars Born tour for Heels of Hell. So I already had two, three, and then I pulled out a scarf that had polka dots. So I had all these patterns, and then I took that off, and I had a bodysuit with Julia Sweeney's SNL character Pat on it all over in a like revolving pattern that Marco made me, friend of the pod.
Oh, Pat pattern.
Yeah, okay. A Pat pattern. So like I was literal Clash of the Patterns and a matching turban. So honey, I was pattern on pattern on pattern on Pat.
Honey, you had it down Pat.
Yeah, honey.
And
up and side to side.
See, to me, for
that was
me,
Pat Down.
For me, Pat Down. For
that's
me,
that's a new drag name, Pat Down. Patricia Down.
Pat Down.
Go get Patricia Pat Down. Go get Pat Down. She'll come in. Patricia Down.
To me, Clash of the Pattern is meant to be almost in the realm of the ugliest dress ever, like that sort of runway. It's supposed to not really be pretty. It's supposed to be jarring and crazy and wild. Clash of the Patterns. Like, it should be arresting, not necessarily in, like, a good way to look at.
I mean,
some of the girls did that. And
some
that's
of the girls
how I would have gone.
Yeah, I think that the emphasis should be on at least three patterns. You want it plural, for sure.
Yes.
And you want something that you remember and that you haven't worn before.
Okay, fair enough.
And that's my criteria. Ginger,
did you think of this nonsense of you're the best team, but somebody else wins? What do you think of that?
Well, Ginger had to poop for 6 months, so I would want to win too if I couldn't poop for 6 months.
I think she did a great job, and I think she deserved to win because she did great. However, the fact that they said, y'all are the winning team, but this girl over here is going to win. There's a reason why they win Emmy Awards. They're great at producing the show. That automatically creates resentment, whether they're best friends or not. It creates resentment.
Yeah, it's definitely an untucked talking point, too, for sure.
It's like being told, you're the winner, but this other girl down here gets the prize.
And it's specifically telling another girl, by the way, the girl next to you, she won. But you? No. You were fine, but we're going to break your ass, bitch. They're trying to break Jan. This is Operation Break Jan.
Yeah.
And they're going for it, just like they did with Roxy. This week's Top All-Star Ginger Min won $5,000, courtesy of Sunday Riley.
That's right.
I would have rather been on Eureka, Akira, and Trinity's team, though, if I had to choose. So I'd rather be on a winning, entertaining team than another team that just had one person win, I think.
Well, of course. And it's almost a disservice to Ginger to have to take this win. It's like winning on All Stars is not really fun because you, especially in this scenario.
I have to take your word for that.
She now has kind of pissed off the team who did the best. And she has to go through the work of lip syncing and choosing someone to go home. Whether she wins the lip sync or not, she still has to reveal that lipstick. So, like, winning is not actually a great thing to do on
She doesn't
All-Stars.
Have to. She could eat it. She literally could swallow it and say, there's another bowel obstruction. See if you can get that shit out. You're not knowing who did my lipstick. She could BB Zahara Bonet it easily. None of That's these true. Girls are you taking could. The BBZ option. And the BBZ option, or BZB,
Honey, the BZB option. BBZ. I'll take the BZB, baby.
I'm doing the BZB. You're not going to know. Y'all need to do the BZB more often.
No, we're going to get into the judges' critiques, but we want to let you know that Latrice and Manila are over on the Mom Network, and they are talking all about Drag Race España over on the Chop. So we want to catch up with them for the España Minuto.
And they're playing catch up at the moment because there are literally so many international Drag Race franchises. They're just getting started with the season recaps on the pod, but
They just announced UK happening in autumn.
Three. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're like, choke on this elegance. So many, but they're just getting started over on the Chop with season recaps on the pod. But get into España and check out the Chop.
Echa Palante podcast.
That's right.
My name is Manila Luzon.
And I'm Latrice Royale.
And this is your España Minute.
On episode 3 of Drag Race España, we got to see a lot of footballs and bouncing boobs. Did any of these players tickle your fancy?
Oh my God, this was such a fun thing to watch queens play football in heels. And then the queens showed us if they were a triple threat. Mm. Were they all triple threats, Latrice?
Some were double threats.
single threats?
Single threats. Not a threat at all, actually. And in the main challenge, the girls repped their hometown looks, but girl, were you shocked at the surprise?
Ooh, honey, the queens are in for a surprise.
Baby. Plus, Arantxa Castilla La Mancha is here!
For more recaps of season 1 of Drag Race España,
tune in to the Chop.
These judges' critiques, Raja O'Hara, they loved her runway look and praised her vulnerability at the pink table, so it paid off. Mm-hmm. RuPaul loves trauma.
RuPaul also loves your shoes, honey, which Kylie was wearing.
Yeah, God bless. And she's one of the some of these girls, they borrow my stuff and they never mention it on social media because I think they're afraid of like letting the empire know while it's happening, like that people are associated with me. Maybe it sounds stupid, but like, you know, Kylie did. She's like, nope, those are his. He's an angel. I was like, you're so nice.
I love
some of the girls borrow stuff and then they don't even text you back. Some of the judges, even.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
Not you. You always use the sign-out sheet at the BBB.
I do.
Yeah, you're fine.
I do.
Kylie was a great moderator, Michelle says, but they're saying she didn't open up and share herself at the pink table, which I think is wrong. She was not only funny when she shared herself with her dog stuff, and like she gave the moment the jovial nature it needed for a little bit of lightheartedness, but she also gave a great piece of advice to Raja while she was crying that seemed comforting to Raja. Like, I thought Kylie understood the assignment and did it well, and that hair spoke for itself. She didn't need to say much.
Kylie was very Dolly Parton in Straight Talk. She said,
if a bird and a fish want to make love, where will they make a home?
Yeah, something like that.
If a bird wants to fuck a fish in the ass, how will it hold it open with no hands?
I love how you sound like Lady Bunny. Oh my!
If a fish wants to fuck a bird in the ass,
Scarlett. RuPaul said, "Scarlett, you make me uncomfortable."
That wasn't dramatic enough. Go cut yourself and then come back out and cry. Do something, bitch. RuPaul does not like happy, well-adjusted people on her show. She wants...
No, it's reality TV.
Pretty girls that are messes on the inside that can do drag. And then splits, too.
Why'd you look at me when you said...
Them seams are splitting. Scarlett says, is told her look on the runway is gorge, but she was overly performative at the pink table and she wasn't vulnerable enough. And she just... RuPaul's comfort level needs to be kept at a 96% maximum at all times. Yes, do not make her uncomfortable. And obviously,
it's her show.
I mean, but here's the thing. I don't know how RuPaul says she can be uncomfortable when in Untucked, we see this week that she's wearing sweats under the gown. We see it on screen. We know damn God well she is comfortable. She is not right. Uncomfortable. She may have felt a...
She didn't like it. Well, the host of the show did not like the session, okay?
She should travel.
Michelle says the face and hair are great. The outfit isn't right. Ross tells Jan that she needs to scale back her energy. Jan cried. Listen, I've been on the runway and had basically a panel of judges tell me I don't have a heart, I believe is what they told me, which is like, it's sort of a similar vibe of what Jan is getting. It's like, stop being this version of yourself because we don't like it. It's almost Laganja-ish.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I mean, if this was any other person on the street, it would be considered rude. But since you're on a show where you submitted yourself for judging, it's okay. I would like to see the part in the footage that went from Jan being okay to her crying, because it goes from okay to split. She's fully there. And I would like to see what words transpired in the middle of that. But in the end, RuPaul gets a good little button and says, listen, everyone in Hollywood is a narcissist. Which, I can't find the lie.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay. And, but she's like, we just all have to we have to be better at hiding it. So wait, are you calling Jan... Are you telling Jan that she's being narcissistic or that her energy is too intense?
Girl, put your stickers on a boat.
Is not the same?
I don't know.
I'm confused.
They're not.
The whole last thing.
They're not. And that's why I was wondering about like the footage in between. Like, what else were they telling her? Were they like, you're good, but you're too good. We don't like it. Be worse for us. She's perfect.
You're being yourself and we don't like this version of yourself. So could you be someone different, but also be real?
Let's try the blue one next. What's your sister's name? Laguna? Let's get her. Yeah, no, we don't like the pink one anymore either. We got rid of her last season. Send the blue one. Can you do that? Will you text the blue one for me? Thanks.
Pandora, they said she had a few jokes here and there, but she was kind of holding back and didn't really give opinions vulnerability.
I have a question on this because we've all toured with Pandora. She's one of the OG girls. We've been on the tour with, we were all on the bus when the bus broke down and caught on fire. And it was Michelle, me, you. And I have a YouTube video of it that I made. And Pandora is the one slyly cracking jokes and like talking about this bitch on Xanax and like, she's very funny, but she's dry and she's subtle. And so I don't, when Michelle says, I know you personally and you're holding back and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, that's Pandora. Pandora's like a sly funny. She's not like a bam, 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 like a Lombardozzi bulldozer.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I think Michelle can suck it. Pandora did her best. She tried to be funny. She tried to, you know. She tried to make jokes out of, well, I don't know. I thought she did fine.
Well, yes, she did fine. Their group
did
fine. But the purpose of this challenge was to really put something on the line and really sort of go to that place where it's a little uncomfortable, very vulnerable, and revealing something that maybe you never have before.
I mean,
and
what
Pandora kept it very on the surface.
Yeah. I mean, if she took didn't off, really go there. If she took off her corset and like squeezed like a gut roll and said, "This is why I'm uncomfortable." That does this make you fierce. Uncomfortable, RuPaul and Michelle?
That would have been fierce.
I mean, it's what I would have done. I would have pointed out my problem areas and say, "This is why my thighs made me cry when I was a child." You know, I would have tried to go there a little bit more. But some girls are afraid of that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not afraid of taking a break.
give me one, bitch. You got a lighter? Bring your lighter.
I don't know. My reviews were great. Everyone on the judging panel said I was amazing.
I definitely did not get the harshest critique.
No, I mean, they were kind of nice to me. Like, I don't know. I don't know why they're so obsessed with me. Like, why am I even in the bottom? All they said was nice things. Did you think that Scarlett was either delusional or being strategic with this?
I think it was a bit of strategic gaslighting for... Scarlett is on a game show and she is playing the game right now because she's not a dumb, dumb girl. And she knows what they told her. They told her and we all heard it. They told her.
But Jan is calling bullshit in the confessional and with Ginger, but not with the group.
Well, there's a moment where who knows, this could be editing, but Scarlett is over talking to Ginger. And then she hears her name being said and she perks up like a meerkat, like, huh? Like, I didn't get the heart. Like, and so who knows if that actually happened, but the room's not that big. You can hear stuff if two girls are talking. And if you're quiet and you're listening, you can hear what they're saying. It's not hard.
Yeah.
Ginger's happy she won the challenge, which makes sense. But
yeah.
I think that Scarlett did not tell the whole truth because she did get some good critiques. But there's definitely some
part. She did.
But she's clearly in the bottom. And they did not like her performance. But they didn't like Jan's performance either, but, right?
Do you think, I mean, you're not an All-Stars, you don't have to answer by any means, but do you think that Scarlett did better or worse than Jan? Because it was between Scarlett and Jan.
Worse.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's why I said it was strategic gaslighting. But people love gaslighters. Dick Van Dyke was a gaslighter, wasn't he? In Mary Poppins.
Well, I mean, I tried gaslighting once. That's when you use the lighter and you light one of your farts, isn't it?
Oh, I've done that with hairspray in a locker room once when a bully was fucking with me. I literally took my Vidal Sassoon hairspray.
You better use the Vidal for that.
This was like eighth grade.
Don't use the got to be. Please don't use the got to be for that.
Don't do it. That's for my edge work.
Use the L net.
No, that's a European. The import tax.
Tresemme, ooh la la.
Jan is just going through it. She doesn't know what to do. She can't crack the Drag Race code. Sasha Bell tried and it almost killed her. Eureka's trying to explain what she's supposed to do because she doesn't get it off the judges, you know? And she says, you just need to chill. Daddy, chill.
It's hard. Drag Race is hard. All Stars is even harder. Jan defends herself to Ginger and she says that RuPaul gave Scarlett the harshest critique. Herself, but you know what? This is all meant to be hashed out on the main stage, where we have the revelation of the lip sync assassin as
Bianca Del Rio.
They got me with this. They got me. I was like, "What the fuck? She's never lip synced in her life." This is just screaming because we went to to 33 Taps, is that the name of the place?
Huh.
Where Mariah does the hosting and bingo. Yes, I went with my brother and his girlfriend, and we were all like, "She's never lip synced in her life, fuck this bitch." And then they were like, "Just kidding."
Yeah, it was a ham-fisted, heavy-handed skit stunt. And
the skit stunt.
Bianca did look great. She looked like Santa Claus's mistress.
She was doing a reference of Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, okay. I loved it. Yes.
No, she looked awesome. It was very funny.
I just noticed they had one of the bottom girl. The bottom was comprised of a girl from every group. When it could have easily just been comprised of one girl. Or two girls, I mean. They didn't need to put Kylie in the bottom. I thought she was fine. She was not. There was nothing negative that she gave me about her performance.
This is how they do it.
This is what they do.
All Stars is nonsense.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason.
So was Bianca Del Rio's presence. Just nonsense. It was a mere facade covering a smokescreen.
Yes.
For Mayhem Miller.
We're being gaslighted yet again by production.
100%.
It's okay, but the actual lip sync assassinista is Mayhem Miller,
queen of the party.
And, yeah, queen of the party.
RuPaul is giving the girls the opportunity for Ginger to win $30,000 to the song "Where the Hell Am I Phone" by Lizzo.
So funny. So funny.
They showed a lot of the song this week.
They did. It was a very fun lip sync.
Yeah.
It's a very fun song. And Mayhem and Ginger are both really, really awesome lip syncers.
Ginger's boots are hideous. Everything else looks great. I'm happy from the ankles
great.
Up. Her makeup's beautiful. Maymay looks great. She's funny.
Yes. Ginger has a couple of... What?
What the hell are these Louboutins for? She's got a little piece of red tape on the bottom of her shoe. She thought about it. I'm not mad.
That's really funny.
So funny.
Also, Mayhem does the sort of duck walk kind of moment, and then Ginger sort of takes a look at her doing it and is like, fine, I'll do it too.
She does a
and
goose walk.
Goose walk. Mother goose.
Uh-huh. I liked it. I was entertained. I didn't know who won.
Yeah, it was close. But Ginger took it.
I thought Mayhem was going to win, honestly, because the end gag was the funny bit. Like, ending on a funny always wins it for me. But RuPaul, you know, Mayhem will be back again, I'm sure, at some point. Damn. Mayhem also tries to get some money out of Ginger. She says, you owe me some money, bitch. She said, you're giving $2,500 each to your teammates. I want some too, ho.
Yeah, which is nice. That's very nice of Ginger to split the $30,000 prize with her teammates, $2,500 each. Just don't make it $10,000. People don't like that for some reason. Just don't do it.
Nice four-digit number.
Yeah.
Ginger reveals from her bosom that Scarlett is about to hit the house. She gotta go. And Scarlett's crushed.
And Scarlett leaves. With the exit line, write a love letter to you.
Now at mybestjudy.com/merch. I bet. It sounds like such a merch line. Write a love letter to you. In a love letter dress. Like, how poetic, how beautiful. She leaves being beautiful. She will always remain beautiful.
Honey, she was looking beautiful tonight.
Uh-huh.
Look at her makeup. It's beautiful.
Look at that penmanship. It's cursive. All over her gown. Gorgeous. So did you watch Untucked this week?
I did. I love the trans talks.
That should be a pink table. Trans talk. Pink table trans talk.
I love the fact that these conversations are happening on television. Transness, the trans experience, is not a monolithic one type of way to do it. It is a nuanced, complex, ever-evolving path that a lot of people are on and a lot of people don't understand. And so every time there's a conversation like this, it's just like a breath of fresh air. And I'm like so glad that a show like Drag Race exists for the reasons of it can share so much information with people. So like, I really appreciated that.
I didn't appreciate that Mayhem didn't wear a travel unit.
How dare you? We flew you first class to this competition.
Well, you know that didn't happen.
We drove you. We reimbursed you. We asked you to
drive. We asked if you wanted water in your dressing room. Yeah, this is.
We asked you to drive here in gridlock.
Untucked was cute.
We're not paying you because this is good exposure. Listen, we have to go, but I need to take a moment. I have to take a moment. A Venn moment. No, that's a James Mansfield saying. No, listen, I don't like people talking shit and talking hatred to these drag queens. It is not proper. It will not do.
Unless you're wearing a wig.
Even if you're wearing a wig, stop talking so much shit. Ginger has been getting so much shit from people. What did she do wrong exactly?
She couldn't shit for 6 months. She shouldn't have to take shit from other people when she can't even
shit
herself.
What did she do? Listen, there are some people who are mad because they don't think Scarlett should have went home and they thought Jen should have went home. Listen, if it was the opposite way, and if Jan went home instead of Scarlett, there would have been the same amount of people being the same amount of pissed off, sending the same amount of death threats.
And if you
so why don't we just stop sending death threats and bullshit and hate talk to anybody? Can we?
I mean, I think that would make me a moot person. I would not speak. I'm a judgmental queer. And I frequently...
But you don't tell people to kill themselves unless you're joking and you say it on a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on Dragula too. That was network. Or streaming at least. yeah, I agree. Less hate would be good. But, yeah, that would be nice. I mean...
There's observation and critique. Okay, but there is also, like, hatred and like, being a rotted piece of shit. And there's a difference. So, we here, we
you
do...
You did a red
do,
brow. That's what it is. That brow, honey. Ooh, I just got the brow, honey. Oh.
Red. Be nice. That's all I have to say. And we want to thank you so much for joining us for Race Chaser this week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And happy 3 fucking years of podcasting. We have a job.
That's right. We love it. We love bringing it to you every pod. And we'd love for you to write a review of the podcast and on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe. So take a moment and leave us a rating, too.
And you can follow the dolls at Willem at The Only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser account is Race Chaser Pod. And our Mom Podcast account is Mom Podcast. So many podcasts.
That's right. Plus, bonus content is available now at patreon.com/Willem. And you can search for Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag
Race Chaser.
We just put some fun stuff up there. It's Lady Gaga's sing-along trivia. Okay.
Oh, I heard Delta say, that sounds like a lot.
Well, it is, babe. Delta, it's worth every penny.
Delta was so great. If you want to email us about any of our recent co-hostesses, like Bob the Drag Queen or Delta Work or Delta Variant, please email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
Stay safe out there. Get the vax. Socially distance yourself and wear a mask. Respect each other out in the world.
Girl.
I'm supposed to get home.
It's in my hand. Oh.
What the hell? Oh.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and/or copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.